What a great day to be in the house of God. Absolutely. Miss Suzanne said amen. We'll be praying for her at the end of the service. She'll be moving to Virginia. Going to be with sisters. Next week is Sisters Week. All five sisters will be hanging out together for the entire week. How awesome is that? I want to just bring to your attention an update on just a couple of things, and we're going to have a time of prayer here real quick, but Jerry Chapman, we want you to keep her in your prayers. They are preparing her for, she has a couple of blockages, so they're preparing her for some surgery upcoming. Shannon Gamble is in the process of transitioning, and he is at Brightmoor Hospice, and so just keep him in your prayers, and the family, David and them, have been taking very good care of him. And Carsten Doss, my nephew, had some surgery yesterday, and the surgery went well, but he will be, it's kind of a long recovery process, and so he's in ICU for the next couple of days. So we want to keep him and the family in prayer. But, you know, we believe in prayer, and the power of prayer, and we've been testifying for the last couple of months about the good things that God does and how he comes through in times, and the things that happen that, oh, that probably shouldn't have happened that way, but God allowed those things to happen that way that were miraculous. This Thursday at noon, if your schedule allows, on the courthouse steps, it's the National Day of Prayer, but we have been in our community celebrating that, and it's about a 30-minute time of just a couple of short little brief talks, and a song is sung, but the entire church of Griffin, Georgia, Griffin Spalding, is meeting. And so it's a great thing to be a part of. I attend it each year, and I'm just encouraged at the good things of God. The good things of God. The good things of God. We can dwell on the bad things that are going on, or we can dwell on the good things of God. So I encourage you to stand to your feet. Father, Lord, we just lift these up that are needing surgery or had surgery or in the process of transitioning. We ask you to be with them, be with their families. We are so grateful for the good things of God. And we choose today to worship you.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds. We came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. The atmosphere is changed. Spirit of the Lord is here.
The evidence is all around
the Spirit of the Lord is here. Thank you, God.
Even as I wait, you come.
coming close. You're like starlight in the dark, and this miles can't conceal you. And every glimmer is a spark. You're catching fire as you break through. Presence, Father, I love thee. Peace that passes all understanding, and the waiting. I love that when we have to wait that you are there and that you are closer than our breath, that our DNA is made up of the same thing that you are. And that you created us in your image. Father, and that when we ask for more of you, you show up. And I just pray that walls are broken down this morning as we present ourselves as an offering to you, and we can identify what part of ourselves that we can let go. Let go of and lay down as a sacrifice for you this morning. As we pour our love and affection over you, God, we know that you are singing over us at the same time. I just want more. I just want more of you, God, more of you. I pour out all I have, I lay down all I am, I'm making room for you. Lord, I'm ready to open up my heart to receive. The fullness of who you are, Lord, I'm ready. I just want more. I just want more. More of you, God. More of you, God. I just want more. I just want more. Church, lay it down. Pour out all I have. And lay down all I have. I'm making room for you. Lord, I'm ready to open up my heart to receive not, but the fullness of who you are. Lord, I'm ready. I just want more. For you, he's already gone before you, and all we have to do is receive. Of you.
Just one touch from your robe steals the weakness from my bones, Lord. I need more of you. Come and reach into my heart. Come and feel every part, Lord. I want more of you. Just one touch from your robe.
People just want more of him. How many people are glad that today's a new day, that God is a God of new things all the time? There's more out there. When you think that, you know, you've been loved the most you can be loved, you've had the most fun in your life and it's done, nope, there's more. There's more, there's more, there's more. Today's a new day. I thought about it this morning. I didn't have my new shirt on, and Braxton said, "Dad, why don't you wear your new shirt?" I said, "All right, I think I will." Because we all like things new, right? Today is a new day. I know yesterday I had some thoughts. I had some things that I said that I shouldn't have said. Today is a new day, though. I get a new do-over because God is good. I can love more today than I loved yesterday. So whatever it is that's going on in your life, if you had a bad day, a bad weekend, you may have had a great weekend. Guess what? There's more. There's more. Jason, there's more, right? You had a great time at the golf tournament. Guess what? There's more, man. We're going to have more fun because we have a great God. We serve a great God. Aren't you just glad of that? Our God is great. Our God is mighty. And don't forget, don't forget to thank him just for the breath that you breathe, right? Sometimes you just get caught up and you don't think about it. Just be thankful for the breath that God gives us this morning. Amen? You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. Darkness, you give hope, you restore.
darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
New. Thank you for the love that you give us, the love that you share with us, for the more love today, tomorrow. Father, we thank you. You're so great that things just are going to get better and better. We thank you for that, God. Great are you, Lord.
God is a good God. He is a sustainer. You can trust that his ways are good, and you can trust that he is good. I was sick for most of the week and didn't get to, every time I'd open my laptop, I'd get nauseous, and so I would close it. As a matter of fact, Monday night, we had a praise and worship meeting. We're planning just various things and talking about the upcoming Family Friend Day, May 19th, and we were discussing the worship set and just songs that we wanted to do. And I guess I had this look of, like, this is nauseating to me. And Will looked at me and he said, "Dusty, it's going to be okay." And I'm like, okay. And I'm just not really expressing that I'm not feeling well. And Will looks at me again. He's like, "Dusty, the songs are good. It's going to be okay." I said, "Will, I'm about to throw up." So we left, and John thankfully drove. And, you know, riding with teenage drivers is already an experience. And so John's not real experienced in emergency pullovers. And if I was not going to be sick before he tried the emergency pullover, I was sick then. But we made it. And anyway, but the whole time I thought, you know, I'm not worried about today. Dad just told me, just summarize what we've been talking about on love. I'm like, that's easy. Until Thursday came, and I'm like, how do you summarize Buren? I don't know that Buren can summarize Buren. But what I did is there are three statements that Dad has made that has continued to resonate within me, continue to resonate. So I just let that resonate in my spirit, and I sat down and I just wrote and I just wrote and I just wrote. And I'm not going to read everything I wrote, I promise. But we are the one thing that I feel like on everything that we've been learning about love, the one thing that will keep us from really believing in it is fear. Fear that his ways are not good. Fear that, is God really going to be there and sustain us when things are not good? But it's fear. I started meeting with the counselors, I guess, a year ago, and something that they have taught me, that almost every single issue that people will come to in a counseling room, the underlying issue is fear. Under anger is fear. Under stress, the issue is fear. Fear that there's not enough time. Fear that you're not going to perform. Under every single issue that we have is fear. And the reason we fear, and I want you to hear this, is because we really don't believe in that moment that love really works. We really don't believe in that moment, that love really works. And belief always precedes behavior. The most important thing about you is what you believe. Do you know that? The most important thing about you is what you believe. I've been reading a book. It's called Anxious for Nothing, and it's not by John Maxwell. It's by Max Lucado. But he tells the story of when he was growing up, that his dad loved camping and that no one had a tent like his dad had. You know, it was not the retractable poles that you see. He said they were cast iron poles. And he said that it was so large, it would like cover an entire picnic table. 12 cots could fit underneath. And anytime storms came, everybody got underneath that tent because they knew that tent was not going to go anywhere. And he likened those cast iron poles to the goodness of God and to his sovereignty and to knowing that when we are able to put our trust in his love and in who he is, and in his goodness, then those poles, that becomes who God is, the sustainer in our life. The sustainer in our life. I'm going to start reading a sweet thing that happened. Before the service, Mr. Jim came up to me, Mr. Jim Lewis, and he had the bulletin on the back. It just has the title on it, Perfect Love Expels Fear. And he said, "Where did you get this?" And I'm like, "First John." And he's like, "No, like where did it come from?" And I'm like, "Mr. Jim, I've just been meditating on perfect love expels fear." And he said, "You're not going to believe what I wrote on a staff yesterday." He said, "I wrote perfect love expels fear." And he says, "I wish I would have brought it." I'm like, "I wish you would have brought it too." Then in 1 John 4, and it says, "And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us." He's given us his spirit to show us and awaken us every single day that love works, because he is love and he is working in you. And furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, and all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And we know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in His love. You see, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Now, the Greek word for judgment, whenever you read this, when I read it in Scripture, I'm like, judgment day. That's not what we preach, the judgment day. The Greek word for this is krisis, meaning the day of judgment is translated in the face of crisis. We will be confident in the fact the sustainer of our faith is within us because we live like Jesus in this world. We love like He loves. We know that love sustains us. One of the study Bibles that I always study with interprets this scripture like this. Love's completeness is not compromised in contradiction. Our confident conversation echoes fellowship, even in the face of crisis, because as He is, so are we in this world, and our lives are mirrored in Him. And then He says, such love has no fear, but perfect love expels fear. Perfect love expels fear. Love and fear cannot cohabitate. One of the reasons you are not going to hear hell, fire, and brimstone and fear of punishment or fear of things in this house is because Jesus said, I'm casting it out. I'm casting it out. I'm taking the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I'm taking this fear and I'm casting it. There's no room for fear in the church. There's no room for fear in our lives. Dad said beginning of the year that we are every day of our lives either imploding or expanding. And love will always expand. How do you know you're not expanding? How do you know? Because there is some fear. It may just be in the moment. It may just be in that hour, in that minute, in that season. But when we learn to have our tents become these cast iron poles, the sustainer of our faith, the sustainer, then our love will be growing. There are three areas in our life that I believe that fear keeps us from really walking out love. Fear in our relationships, fear in our circumstances, and fear in our future. Fear for our future. You ever just really just want to jump to the end of the message and I can't and I really have to get there? That's where my mind is. So I'm just going to try to take a minute and breathe because I'm ready to skip over to page 25. I'm just kidding. It's not 25 pages. But that's where my head is. So I'm just going to take a moment and breathe and be in this moment. Perfect love expels fear in our relationships. Any fear, any problem you have in your relationship is because of fear. Fear that if you let that person off the hook because you don't trust in the way of love, then they're not going to be punished or they're going to do it to you again. Fear of rejection, fear of not being heard, fear of not being valued, fear of being misunderstood, fear of not being right. The first statement I want to expound on about love and how perfect love expels fear that Dad made, and how do we do this, that I just keep thinking about over and over and over and over again, is you overcome an enemy when you win them over. Do you remember when he said that? You overcome an enemy when you win them over. Let me tell you who your enemy is. Chances are you are not going to be like David, running from your enemies, and somebody's on a hunt to hunt you down and kill you. Your enemy is anyone who rubs you the wrong way, rubs against the way you think, the way you feel. Your enemy at any given moment can be your spouse. How many spouses has ever been their enemy? Your enemy can be, Will did not raise his hand. He's like, I ain't raising my hand. You ain't gonna, a lot of men did not raise their hand. A lot of women like, yep. Will be your enemy. And Jesus demonstrates this on the cross when he's hanging between his two enemies, and he just says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The foundation of forgiveness and walking in love is seeing that people really don't mean to hurt you. If people knew they were hurting you, they wouldn't be hurting you. They really wouldn't. That's why he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Let me tell you, peace meant so much to Jesus. Winning people over meant so much to Jesus that he valued peace in your relationship and love in your relationship more than he valued worship and sacrifice to him. He said in Matthew, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there and go be reconciled to that person and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Let me tell you, you're going to have conflict. If you've been married for a day, if you've had teenagers for 30 seconds, and in your relationships, you are going to have conflict, right? A friend of mine in Oklahoma City, she posted this on Instagram this week, and it was so timely. She said, conflict is the place we get to practice real love. Isn't that true? Like Dad talked about when he had changed the graphic to like combat boots love, because love is easy when it's easy. But real love, right, practicing real love, becoming mature and your love growing perfect in love and perfect love casting out fear, it only comes through growth. It only comes through places to where you are faced with conflict and then you get to practice real love. When Chris and I first got married, we would have these arguments, and we didn't fight very well. We didn't fight well at all. And I remember we had been married about 2 months, and we were in New Orleans. We have not been back to New Orleans since. And we had one, I mean, this huge fight, and it was over. I was hungry, and I wanted pizza. True story. And I didn't get pizza when I was hungry. When a woman tells you she's hungry, she's for real hungry. And it didn't happen, and we went back to our hotel room. We had this huge fight. My hunger started it, and it was just bad, and we're going back and forth, and I said, I'm going to call my daddy. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm like, oh, yes, I am about to call my daddy. And then a lot of our close friends know this story. One of our biggest fights ever was over a chicken sandwich. I'm not even going to tell you that story. It's embarrassing. But it's for real over a chicken sandwich. It was so bad that I left the house. We're living in Oklahoma. I left. I ain't got nowhere to go. So I go to the Walmart parking lot, and I just sit there. And Chris would call me, and I'd answer it just to hang up. I'd answer it just to hang up. We finally figured out, and this is what I want you to hear, we've got to get from fighting with each other to fighting for each other. You want your perfect love to grow in your marriage. You want your perfect love to grow and mature in your relationship with your teens, with your children, with that family member. Then you've got to go. If you want to change this world, you want to change what the commentary on Facebook looks like, then we got to go from fighting with each other to fighting for each other. And so that is now when Chris, and we still have conflict, but now both of us know I'm not fighting with you. And those fights I work out in my head. I mean, I fight with him in my head. I don't say it out loud. But we fight for each other. I'm going to share with you three simple things that Chris and I do in our marriage that we do, that I'm learning to apply this, not just in my marriage, but into every single relationship that I have. The first thing we do is that we pause. And I ask myself, is this worth engaging? Do I even need to address this? Is this something that I've just worked up in my head? You know, the scripture says that it is the, I think it's up here, the small foxes that will ruin the vineyard of love. It's the little things that ruin your vineyard of love. And those are the things that I know, and I think, man, is this a little fox I'm about to chase right now? That's about to ruin this vineyard of love. And if I've told you the story before, that one time, several years ago, Big Mama was with me, and I was about to pick up the phone and call Chris and tell him something he did that he shouldn't have done. And I literally pick up the phone, and she goes, "Put that phone down." That is the trouble with young people today. They think they got to talk everything out, and that can be a problem. You don't have to talk everything out, but if it is something that you need to talk through, and there are times there's real conflict, you got to talk through. Number one, pause. Do I engage in it? Number two is choose your words carefully. I hear and I see people all the time going out and throwing out words, just speaking life and death, like they don't mean anything. And you're just creating this atmosphere of bitterness and resentment, and you can, once you throw it out there, you can't take it back. Two words Chris has actually taught me to quit saying, and I know I'm not 100% there, Anna, so don't bring it up, is don't say always and never. He always says never is a really long time, and always is you are taking the past and inflicting it in this present moment. Whenever you say always, you are taking yesterday and inflicting it. And today, when Scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind and looking, pressing forward to what's ahead. You are never going to move past and mature in this love that expels fear in your relationships, that can be solid, that can be wonderful, that can be good. In every single relationship, if you keep looking back. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm skipping ahead. And the third thing we made a commitment to each other to do is don't leave the room, no matter what. It doesn't mean that we don't sometimes take a break from a conversation, because sometimes you need a break. You ever been in a serious discussion with your spouse or with someone like, we just need a break? But we both agree to take a break, but we don't leave the room. Now, this is something I've learned from my parents. My parents have been married a lot of years, 40-something. I've been a part of those almost 45 years, and I want to tell you something remarkable that I have seen. They're not perfect, but let me tell you what they have perfected in their marriage. They have never brought up each other's past mistakes. I've never heard in my almost 45 years my mom ever bring up one thing my dad's done wrong in the past. And it's been a lot more than what she's done. I mean, she could have brought up a lot more than he could have brought up. You have fans, Dad. Dad has always said, relationships are where you were hurt, and relationships are where you are healed. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Let the past stay in the past. In every relationship, let the past stay in the past. Let it go. I shared back in December when I talked about, shared on love, and loving the way Jesus loves. And I shared with you something that God showed me in hard relationships. What is your response? Like, what is your responsibility in their healing? Do you remember that if you were here? What is my responsibility in that person's healing? Something else God has just shown me over the past couple of weeks. And he said, Dusty, I want you to take that to a whole new, different level. And I want you to be the person who doesn't leave the room for him. I was like, Jesus, that's mine and Chris's rule. We don't leave the room for each other. Everybody deserves somebody who's not going to leave the room. I don't care who they are. I don't care how broken they are, how messed up they are. Everybody deserves somebody who's not going to leave the room for them. We talk a lot about boundaries. And I believe in boundaries. I believe that creating boundaries in relationships are good. But I'm here to tell you, church, we have abused that word to the point that there are broken people who are not being healed. I'm preaching to me this morning, too. There are broken people who are not going to be healed without somebody who decides to not leave the room. Love has no boundaries. Love loves without condition. And it is our fear of someone invading our space and taking something from us that keeps us from crossing that boundary and healing people. In Matthew 23, when you read the whole thing, Jesus went around healing everybody. Good people, bad people, hard people, easy people, people who were thankful, people who weren't. There was nobody he didn't heal. Yes, he had his 12, his 3, his 1. Those were his people who filled back his cup and encouraged him and kept him going. And you have to have your 12, your 3, your 20, however many it is, whatever that number looks like for you, you have to have those people who come back and refill your cup. But he still didn't say, nope, only gonna be doing the love fest with them. He went around healing everybody. Everybody. Everybody, don't you know, sometimes I think if I were Jesus, and Jesus who knew everything, he knew Peter was going to deny him. I'm not going to deny you. Yes, you are. Peter denies him, and he sees that he has 10 lepers here. Don't you know he knew 9 of them weren't going to come back? Don't you know he knew it? I think I would have been like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You guys go on. I'm going to take you and heal you. He healed all 10 because that's who he is. And that's when the scripture says, why am I able to overcome and face any crisis, whether it is in a relationship, whether it is in a circumstance, in a sickness, in an event? Why is it? Because I have put my trust in your love, and I know that your ways are good. Just try it. Just try it. Try love. Try that his ways are good. When I was growing up and in relationships, my dad always quoted 3 scriptures to me. It drove me crazy. Because at any given moment, depending upon anything that was going on, I was going to hear one of these things. One is, Jesus went to the cross like a lamb led to slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. I remember one time I was young. I'm like, well, I'm not Jesus. And he says, well, you should try to be. And he would tell me that when I would feel this need to make a point or to defend myself or to let me get the last word in. But when I made the choice to not open my mouth, when I tried it, it worked. And then he would say to me, Dusty, the weak will always be with you. How many times? You still tell me that. The weak will always be with you. Be gentle with them. There are people, sometimes I'm like, why don't you know to do, why you say that? Why you do that? Why don't you know to do these things? Just the weak will always be with you. Acknowledge it and be gentle. And the last thing he would always say, when I'm like, have I done all I need to do? He would say, well, as far as it depends on you, are you at peace with everyone? As much as it depends on you, are you at be at peace with everyone? Perfect love expels fear in your relationships. And you say, Dusty, why do you talk so much about relationships? Why? Because every day I see people hurting and broken. And they are broken because of relationships. That's why they're broken. Anna, a couple weeks ago, or a week or so ago, came up to me. She came in my room. And she's just sobbing. I'm sorry I'm heavy, and I'm going to get to more heavy in a minute. And she says, Mom, she has this friend who their home is, they don't do life like a lot of us do life, and it's just, they don't say the things they're supposed to say, they don't do the things they're supposed to do, and they're just a house full of broken people. And she said, and she feels like she doesn't matter. And she's just sobbing, and because she can't, feels like she goes, I can't fix it. And I said, you know what? We can be love. And when we're with them, we can affirm them. We can tell them who they are. We can tell them they matter. Relationships matter more than anything in this world. Don't fight with people. You fight for people. Perfect love expels fear in your circumstances. He said, we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, in the day of crisis. But we can face with confidence anything that comes our way because we live like who in this world? We live like Jesus in this world. The next thing Dad said that keeps resonating within me is that we are only one thought away from transcending out of one situation into another. And there are two parts of this that I want to talk about. The first part is we are one thought away. And he told a story about how Paul was in a prison cell, but really in his mind, he was not in a prison cell. He was in the inner courts. He was in the inner court. See, Paul, his prescription, his cure for being anxious, for being in fear, was one word, rejoice. Rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. He says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with what? With thanksgiving, make your request known to God. You know, you can't skip a crisis. You can't skip something that happens to you. When some of you may have read my post on Facebook, but a couple of weeks ago, in the Tackle family, like, nobody wanted to come near us, just in case there was some... Y'all believed in that weird stuff, had some weird juju on them. We had event after event after event happen, and we were in Mexico on our last Friday night, and John cut his head on a, he didn't want me to tell you what he was on. He was, nah, I'm not going to tell you, you're on a kiddie slide, John. And anyway, it was really, really bad, and we didn't. Chris was like, man, we're in Mexico. Do I go get stitches? You know, what do I do? And then John passed out, and he's like, okay, we probably need to do something. He ended up with a concussion, and I'm going to say mild concussion now, but I think he's doing all right, and stitches. And so I'm like, thank goodness we made it through. And then by Monday, Chris sliced his hand on some farm equipment, needed stitches. Then I wasn't feeling well. Jet starts throwing up Tuesday, and then Thursday, I get a phone call from Anna's coach, and she's running a soccer drill, and it was just the perfect collision, and he said, I'm real concerned. I know she has a concussion. These are things that are going on. She needs to go to the ER. I sent Mom to get her, and because she was closer to her, and Chris and I were going to meet in there. And let me tell you, my initial reaction was not to rejoice in every circumstance. It was not to rejoice in that moment. You know, when something is not our natural, normal response to rejoice in that normal circumstance. But Paul, Max Lucado says in the book, he says, is it possible to maintain an uninterrupted spirit of gladness? No, this is not Paul's challenge. We are urged to rejoice in the Lord. This verse is a call. Listen, not to a feeling, but to a decision that is deeply rooted in the confidence that God exists, that he is in control, and that he is good. I had to say the word words, like things would happen, I would say, but I got this. This happened, but I got this. This, and it's not that I was consistently feeling it, and I've said it over and over and over again, you'll never feel your way into an action, but you can act your way into a feeling. You've got to practice saying the things, even if you feel like you're not meaning it, but you just keep saying it, and you surround yourself with people who are going to keep saying it, until suddenly that becomes a feeling. That's what rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You got to find something good. God is actively engaged in your life. He is actively engaged. He says, it's not if you walk through the valley. He says, what does he say? When you walk through the valley, I'll be with you. When you go through deep waters, you're not going to drown. When you go through the fire, you are not going to burn. And what I had to do with that whole week and what I'm still having to do, you know, we're still in the process of Anna being healed and just... And we're still in the process of going through a lot of things within our home. But you know what I did? I had to sit down and I had to write, what was my teacher in this? What did I take away from this? And I just began to journal and to write down things. I wrote down, pause. I wrote down, you got 20 seconds to breathe. I wrote down, that's to keep the main thing. Because it's so easy to get caught up in a busy, busy world and we allow all these other things to become huge. And when something really, really tough happens, you realize what's really important. What's really important. Paul found the lesson. He said, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything has happened to me has helped me spread the good news. Don't you want that kind of reframing? That everything that's happened to me has helped me do this, because Paul believed in the steady hand of a good God. His tent poles were made of cast iron, and he believed in the steady hand of a good God. And you are not only one thought away from transcending, and the band can be coming. You are not only one thought away from transcending from one situation to another, and I want you to hear this. You are one prayer away. You are one prayer away. You are one prayer away. Ephesians says, pray in the Spirit at all times. I talk to God about little stuff. I talked to him about big stuff. I was praying on the way to the ER with Anna, and all I could say, and I'm just crying. I'm, you know how you're just tired and you're exhausted, and you're just like, God. And I just said, God, let her be okay. Just let her be okay. I love the prayer of the man who wanted his son to be healed, and he just said, Jesus, help me with my unbelief. You ever just have a hard time believing? You know, it's okay to say, God, help me with my unbelief. I listen to Judah Smith every once in a while. He's a minister. I think, Penny, you listen to Judah sometime. He made this statement about, he was talking about Mary and Martha, and when Lazarus was sick, but Mary and Martha had told Jesus, you know, sent a message to Lord, you know, said, Jesus, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Isn't that interesting? Didn't even say, whom I love. Whom you love is sick. And then when Jesus got there, it had been 4 days that Lazarus had been dead. And you know the scripture where it says, and Jesus wept with them? And he cried with them. Jesus knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the tomb, from the grave. But he sat there and he wept. And Judah made the point. He says, you know why? Because love is always present. So it is okay to feel what you feel. But you know that God is very in that moment. Anna loves for me to pray for her. And I love this about her. We pray. Let me tell you why I pray over little things as much as I do big things. Because it gets me in the practice and the habit of consistently communicating with God. Because He cares about every single detail of your life. Every single detail. He's not sitting idly by. Anna and I were talking last night about, you know how I know He's active? Because what is it, Anna? The universe is expanding. How fast? A million miles a second. I want you to hear this. Don't you ever just look out into the vastness of creation into the sky and think, it's all you see is all you see, right? And that's it? We were talking last night. The universe is expanding at a million miles per second. And you know what she said? So intuitive, so good. Look at all the good things I'm saying about you today. And she says, that's how I know God didn't finish creating on day six. Woo! She says, Mom, that's how I know God wasn't finished on day six. Oh! That's how you know that there's more. He didn't finish creating on day six. You don't stop praying. Texting with Jennifer this morning, I told her, yeah, for 25 years I've believed that God had given me a new colon because I have a disease called ulcerative colitis, and it can flare and it can get bad, and I've had a really rough week with it this week. And I said, you know, for 25 years I've been praying, and I will continue to pray. You know, He told Elijah, God had already promised rain. Why did He tell Elijah to go pray if He promised it? I don't know. I do know. Because God loves to partner with you in what He's doing. He loves to partner with you in what He's doing. Saul was blinded on the road to Damascus. And you know, God could have easily just touched him and healed him. You know what Jesus did? He went and told Ananias, go pray for him. God always wants to partner with you in healing somebody. He always wants to partner with you in healing somebody. And the last point. Let me say this before I move to the last point. There are times when you can't pray. And I got the Thursday after Anna's concussion, and we were in the ER, and we had a break Friday. That Saturday, Chris and I, we're rear-ended. And I was like, oh, what? And you know what? I texted a group of my friends, and I said, I ain't got no more demons to cast out. I don't have anything else to do. Can you pray for me? You know, my buddy Torres texted me, hey, we got you right now. I got your back. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. To heal each other. To pray for each other. The last thing Dad said, it's not the last thing he said, but I'm saying, he said, perfect love expels fear of our future. He says, you and I were put on this planet for more than we see. Fear that you won't be healed. Fear that your children aren't going to be okay. Fear for that provision won't be there. Whatever that thing is. How many know that His resources are limitless? If He's still creating, He's still got stuff to create with. He's still got stuff to create with. Ephesians says, we've heard it, we've quoted it. I want you to read this every single Take the whole month of May and read it every single day, and you let this word go so deep within you that you can't help but walk in it and live it. Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven on earth and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, say unlimited, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, as you trust that his ways are good, as you trust that he is good, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too difficult to understand fully, then you will be made complete. Your love will be perfected. It's the whole body of Christ, when we're going around healing and healing each other and praying for each other, it says that his love is brought to full expression in us. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. Let me tell you what's going to make this work. Here's the simplest way this is going to work. It is not how much you love God. Your faith, your healing, that provision, that need, whatever that need, whatever it is, it has nothing to do. This whole entire book, this whole narrative has nothing to do with my love for him, has nothing to do with your love for him. This whole book is a love story of his love for you. Of his love for you. That should make you feel a lot of relief. That's why you can rest. And just in that knowledge. And sometimes that's all you need to know. And we get to rest in knowing it is not about my love for him. It is fully about his love for us. He wants to heal you not because you love him, because he loves you. He wants to do the thing in your life with schooling, not because you love him, because he loves you. He cares about every single detail. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing. He wants to heal you, not because you love him, because he loves you. Because he is good, and that is the sustainer. That is the sustainer, that his ways are good. That his ways are good. The way he says to love is so good that it works. When the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13 that it is patient, and it lists all these wonderful things that love is. And then you know what it says at the end? And it won't fail. It doesn't fail. His love does not fail. It's because he loves you. Rest in that. Rest in it. Rest in it. Rest in it. Trust in his love. Trust in his love. Let that be the sustainer. Not what you feel, but who he is. But who he is. We're going to sing this song that we sang earlier called More, because I want more. I mean, when the scripture says that he lives in us and we live in him, you know, whether or not you're living in him or not doesn't change the fact whether he's living in you. That's why it doesn't depend on our love. That's why it doesn't depend on our love. So let's stand. We're going to sing this song. And we're just going to thank him that whatever it is that we just surrender, God, come and heal every part. Every part. Every love that line. Just one touch from your robe steals the weakness from my bones. There was a woman with an issue of blood, and Jesus is walking through the crowds. And this woman is sick, and she just says, if I can just touch his robe. Sometimes we just need to touch. Sometimes I got to touch your robe, Jason. Linda, sometimes I got to touch your robe because I know the Spirit of Christ, the resurrecting power, is living within you, and I just need to touch it. And it heals. And it heals. Love heals. Love heals. And where there is perfect love, there is no fear. Let's sing this.
Come and heal every part, Lord.
Just one touch from your robe steals the weakness from my bones, Lord. I want more of you. I just want more.
I believe that. Spent the last 3 days playing 72 holes of golf with a bunch of guys that I really love, and the camaraderie of spirit is so sweet, but physically it just zaps you. And I went to bed last night physically totally exhausted. I didn't want to get up this morning and come to church, but when I got up, the Lord began to speak to me. He told me what to share on Family Friendly Day on May 19th. And then he said this: the spirit of revelation is about to explode over the next several months. That there is going to be more revelation than you've seen in a long, long time. And you see what revelation is. I love illumination because you need that all the time. I need inspiration. But I need revelation. I need God to reveal something to me I haven't seen. And when he reveals it, you're talking about getting inspired. You're talking about getting illuminated when he reveals something that you've never seen before. There's nothing like it. Amen? I'm going to ask Suzanne Fountain to come down, and Suzanne's going to be moving to Virginia, and we want to pray over her today. And really, my prayer over her today is a prayer of thanksgiving. She's been here for about 3 years now. Her husband passed away about 3 years ago, and right after that, she found Eagle's Way to be her church family. And we've given over 40 of these staves away that Jim Lewis does for us from time to time. This one says, the light of my being dispels all shadows. And I know you're about to spend some time with your sisters. I think it's just wonderful you five sisters get together and do what you do. Yeah, come a little closer because I'm tied up here this morning. I normally have a mic I can get to. But you just reach forth your hand toward her, and we just want to bless you. Father, we thank you for Suzanne. Thank you for what she has meant to us and what she will continue to mean to us. Thank you for your hand of protection being upon her. Thank you for, Lord, expanding her borders. Thank you, Lord, for keeping her from evil. Thank you for total healing and restoration in every aspect of her being. Lord, let these next years be so fulfilling. The best is yet to come for her and her family. And we just bless her as she leaves and thank her for all that she's meant to us and will continue to mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you have two of them. Thank you. Amen. Will?
As our ushers are coming forward and receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, yes, you can be seated for just a second. Want to make sure that you know that this is what Wednesday? Oh, I didn't hear you. This Wednesday is what Wednesday? First Wednesday. We have been testifying every Wednesday for the last couple of months. And if you missed it, I am so sorry that you have not been a part and heard some of the stories and the great things that God has been doing in the lives of people. But we are going to continue to testify. But we are going to continue to testify on First Wednesday. Okay? So there will not be every Wednesday, but it will be happening on First Wednesday. So we want you to be here. There will be a time of that. There will be a time of talking or discussion also, in addition to testifying, and some great worship time. So that'll be this Wednesday night. Make sure that you're here. Make sure that you're making plans to invite somebody to Family Friend Day. How many are coming to Family Friend Day? Let me see your hands. Man, I thought I was going to get every hand to go up. Family Friend Day, May 19th. Now, how many that are coming are willing to try to invite someone to come? You know, it's pretty easy. You just go up and say, hey, we're having this special thing, and it's out at Mystic Acres. We'd love for you just to come and be a part. Guess what they'll probably say? Yeah, I can do that. I've already got two families coming that aren't coming right now that are coming to Family Friend Day. Because I just said, hey, would you come? They said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. It's good stuff. The last Sunday of each month is also what we call Alms Sunday. Alms are, we have tithes, offerings, and alms. Alms are what we use to help those that are in time of need. Alms are what we use to buy the food for Rushton Hope. Alms are what we use to support the Spalding Samaritans here in our community. Alms are what we use to give money to the soup kitchen so that they can provide some food. Alms are what we use when there are members within our church that are just in a tough spot and need help. So your giving is touching and making a difference in people's lives in this community. So as we sing this last song, we want you to come and place your alms here. Many of you are giving online, and you dedicate some to tithes and some to offerings, some to alms, and that is fine to continue to do it that way. If you don't want to walk down front, there's boxes in the back of the sanctuary as you're leaving. You can drop it there. God bless.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your
Have a great day.